This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you can be with us. Coming up on the show today, a lot of talk about Julian Edelman, who announced his retirement. 12-year career with the New England Patriots. One of the best postseason players that the league has ever seen. Certainly in the wide receiver category, slot receiver category. And where does his career, how do they process Edelman's career as a Patriot, as one of the most clutch postseason receivers of all time, in an age where you want instant reaction all the time to everything? As soon as a guy announces his retirement, we're already in the Hall of Fame conversation. Now, personally, I will tell you, I do think that sometimes careers and thoughts on careers need seasoning. Because anytime there is an announcement of a retirement of a player that is respected, even if you didn't root for the guy or root for his team, certainly most NFL fans realize what an amazing story he was coming out of Kent State as a quarterback, the hard work he put into his NFL career, his willingness to do everything, and some of the most amazing catches that he has had, certainly in the postseason. The one against the Atlanta Falcons will live in lore, where he was juggling it and it came off just centimeters off the ground. But in also Super Bowl 53, he was the MVP of that game, where offense basically took a backseat to nothing. It was one of the more boring offensive Super Bowls of all time, and yet he had 10 catches for, I think, over 140 yards, and he earned MVP honors. So immediately people want to categorize whether or not this is a Hall of Fame career or not. But there's an emotion that gets attached to it because he owns the spotlight for this moment. He is announcing his retirement. There is a fan base that is processing that, and there's an NFL fan base that is saying, wow, let's look back on this 12-year career with some sort of enjoyment. But the conversation doesn't have any sort of breathing room. So we're going to get into that today because everybody wants to jump into the Hall of Fame candidacy of Julian Edelman. But when we come back, we'll talk about his career. We'll talk about what he meant to the NFL, what he meant to the Patriots as he goes down as one of the greatest to ever wear one of their uniforms. We'll talk about this continuing and as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Julian Edelman's retirement announcement yesterday in a video. Good video for somebody that's announcing their retirement. Foxborough forever is the way he closed it out. Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters more than ever when taking temperature, and published research shows non-contact models miss 5 out of 6 fevers. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. So, again, Edelman announcing after 12 years that he was retired. Retiring, had some knee issues, had a limited schedule last year due to the injury, had surgery, and now is beat up. He said he would play until the wheels came off, and the wheels finally came off. He's one of the most accomplished Patriots ever. He's one of the greatest to ever wear a Patriots uniform, 3 Super Bowl championships. His performances in the postseason alone warrant tremendous amounts of respect. He's only behind Jerry Rice in terms of postseason receiving yards. Now, I always say that's a hard statistic to compare other people to, because in order to have postseason receiving yards or rushing yards or passing yards or tackles or sacks, you have to get into the postseason. And there are a lot of really good NFL players who are on bad teams for a lot of their careers. Sometimes you luck out and you're on a team that consistently goes to the playoffs. Now, don't get me wrong, you are part of that success. You know, Derek Jeter, for example, has a ton of postseason numbers because the Yankees made the postseason literally every year that he played for them, almost every year he played for them. That's different than guys like Mike Trout, who just never go to the postseason. So it's hard to compare careers when you just use postseason numbers, because plenty of people have had outstanding NFL careers and didn't go to the postseason as much as Julian Edelman did. I mean, he went to the postseason every year except last season, right? I mean, so you're going to amass those kind of numbers. But nevertheless, they're still real. Because we do, you know, one of the reasons that we love sports is to determine a champion. We don't just go around with the regular season just to see how many wins a team can pile up and then shut it down. We do go towards a goal, and the goal is winning a championship. The Patriots had plenty of chances to win championships by going to the playoffs during Edelman's career, and he piled up those kind of numbers. But I think his story is very interesting from a context point, because he's a guy that everybody is talking about now. You know, here's this Kent State guy, played quarterback, willing to change positions, fielding punts. Worked extremely hard on a career, was undersized, but didn't matter, played tough, played hurt all the time, was always trying to prove himself. Even when he had earned the respect and the accolades of his peers, he was still one of those guys that was still striving for even more success as he continued on. And that's the feeling today from a lot of people, even people who aren't Patriot fans. You're seeing this sort of, you know, man, I remember when my team played against him and he converted this third down, or he took this hit and came right back and went right into the slot. You know, the Patriots have a way of taking guys like this and making sure you know exactly who they are. Welker is another perfect example of that. Kid out of Texas Tech, right, who just goes to the Patriots and does extremely well, and next thing you know, he becomes a name everybody remembers. Again, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're on your TV every January and February competing for championships. But Julian Edelman's work ethic, his excellence in the postseason when it really matters, are stuff that people are sort of honoring today. And one of the things about that video, when you watch it, I know we've talked about this before, but it is a reminder how different the NFL is compared to other sports when it comes to retirement. Here's a guy who's going to be 35. Here's a guy who didn't get to say, this is my last year. He went through the season, he had a knee injury, he had knee surgery, and that's it. That's it. You just call it a day, right? There's no trying to come back, play one more game, get a standing ovation. How does he announce his goodbye? He has to do it on a video in an empty stadium. He doesn't even get to say, wave a helmet, wave a hand. You don't get to do that in this league. This league, dude, whether it's injuries or salary or diminishing skills, whatever it may be, it always says goodbye to you before you want to say goodbye to it. And in Edelman's case, it was just too many injuries to overcome. And I don't blame him. When you're 34 and you're heading into 35, your mindset does change. When you're 20s, you think you're invincible and you'll overcome everything, and you're probably right. But when you get to be your 30s, You especially when you're a guy that is starting to realize that the sprained ankle isn't healing as quickly as the hurt arm, the torn shoulder, whatever it is that ails you, it takes a little longer. It takes a little bit more effort. And next thing you know, a knee injury, you know that if you keep just going at people's keep going after it and going after it, as you try to hang on for a couple of more years, it can be devastating in the next 50 years of your life. You don't want that. And a lot of guys are realizing that in this league. And I applaud Edelman's decision on this. Oh, I know people are going, you know, oh, is he going to go play with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers? Very unlikely to happen. This is a guy, when I watched that video, when he said Foxborough forever, I believed it. I think this guy perfectly wrapped up an outstanding career and an outstanding story. He doesn't need to try to overcome an injury to play a few more snaps and go down in Tampa Bay for a minimum wage, or at least minimum wage in the NFL, and try to hang on for a few more catches. That's silly. That's absolutely silly.
But would you be surprised if he didn't?
Absolutely, I'd be surprised. Absolutely. I'd totally be surprised. Because
I can see him doing it. I can see him retiring and then because the power of Tom Brady just convincing someone to say, hey,
so
man.
Tom Brady is going to do a Miyagi move on his injured knee. He can barely walk.
Mid-season pickup?
No.
I don't know. Now, I know they don't need him. I know.
You want a 35-year-old slot receiver on the Buccaneers? Just because it feels good and it's fun and it's like nostalgia?
I'm thinking that's the way Tom Brady's looking at it.
Yeah, but if you're the Buccaneers, you've already gotten a Super Bowl. What would you pay him?
Oh, I have no idea. Hey, I'm with
like,
you
how would
on
he
this.
Fit
I'm
in
just
the
saying,
cap?
How would they fit in the cap?
How would he fit in the salary cap? How would he fit in the Buccaneers that have other things they want to do? And you're going to bring a 35-year-old slot receiver on bum knees?
Well,
because
really
Brady
need...
is like, wouldn't it be fun if I threw to the old man one more time?
Yeah, but they didn't really need
like,
Gronk, and they brought him on board.
Well, yeah, because they can afford to. They can't afford it. They're barely signing the guys that when they won the Super Bowl, there's a whole bunch of guys that they had to sign. If they wanted to re-sign, that was the one question going into the offseason, was Tampa Bay trying to find the money for everybody that they wanted to bring back, that they actually want to be a part of the team.
They'll find a duffel bag of cash somewhere in the breezeway.
They can't. No, this guy's not going to play again. He's not going to play one more time. No, absolutely not.
Okay, another question then. Did he surpass Wes Welker?
No.
In your mind?
Yes and no. This is a complicated question. I'm going to get into this a little bit later because it comes to the Hall of Fame question. Where do you put postseason performances, right? Where do you put postseason numbers in somebody's resume? Julian Edelman's regular season numbers don't even warrant a Hall of Fame conversation at all. At all. He's not even close. His postseason numbers are so magnificent. I think this is where people's conversation is. But Wes Welker, I mean, you know, people are saying Julian Edelman, you know, established the slot receiver position. Are you forgetting Wes Welker? That was the guy, you know, for a long period of time. He was in the same conversation. Welker's postseason accomplishments are remarkable. I mean, they really are remarkable. For the NFL postseason receiving yard conversation to be Jerry Rice and Julian Edelman, that's fantastic. For a guy, again, 12 years coming out of Kent State, you know, nobody heard of him. Nobody, you know, Bill Belichick admittedly, one of the things that put him on Julian Edelman on Bill Belichick's radar was tape of a game that Kent State was playing Ohio State. They were getting killed. And Julian Edelman was the only guy on Kent State that was trying on every play. That at least got Bill Belichick's radar up, that this kid was like giving it 150% and a losing effort against the Buckeyes. And he, you know, look what he turned that into. He's like, look, I'll play hard in this college game. A very influential coach noticed something. And next thing you know, he's giving a video that is liked by, millions of people are processing his potential Hall of Fame career. That's an incredible story. That's really an incredible story. I think to me, and again, we'll talk more about this, is I think there's an emotion that comes with this that people, when I saw Adam Schefter on ESPN say, I think he should go to Canton. Well, I trust Adam's judgment. I think he's got a smart football mind. But how much of that is coming from today's the day we are looking at his career, and today's the day we're talking about all the amazing things that he did, and all the great catch against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and his MVP performance in Super Bowl 53, and feeling great. How much of that, we see this all the time. Anytime a player retires and then we want to get into the Hall of Fame conversation, inevitably 8 out of 10 people who make comments on television and radio say, nah, absolutely. But a year from now you go, well, all right, maybe not. Right? Because it needs seasoning. It needs processing. The real debate, again, in the real debate isn't so much Edelman. It is, if you're a voter, how much does the postseason matter? How much do their performance in the playoffs matter? We know the playoffs are extremely important, right? That's the only reason they play, is to win a championship. So does that carry a lot of weight? Because again, his regular season numbers don't even match up to other wide receivers who aren't in the Hall of Fame. There are plenty of wide receivers who have better regular season statistics than Edelman. Way better regular season statistics that aren't even close to Canton. But why is he in the conversation? Because, again, Jerry Rice, Julian Edelman, when it comes to postseason receiving yards. That's the conversation. All right, we'll talk more about this as we continue along, because I do want to kind of digest a little bit his postseason numbers, give you some of the names of the guys that aren't in Canton that did have a better career, and compare him to Wes Welker as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue along. Julian Edelman announcing his retirement, 12 years in the NFL. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So immediately, as soon as his retirement announcement came around, people started wondering, all right, Hall of Fame career or not? As I've been saying all morning, this is one of those topics that happens as soon as a guy is retired. Everybody's emotional. Everybody wants to process the career. And we tend to look a little bit more fondly on somebody's career when they announce their retirement and they're done, because it's an emotional moment for that player. We kind of share in that a little bit. The run is over. Everything that they worked for their entire lives is coming to an end. A new chapter is beginning. And we tend to think more fondly about a player in those kind of moments, especially the borderline Hall of Fame candidates. But is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? Does he deserve to go in the Hall of Fame? The debate is whether or not his postseason numbers warrant the kind of inclusion into Canton, because his regular season numbers do not. I'm going to credit Jason Owens at Yahoo Sports for this, because he put it all in perspective here. That his Julian Edelman's regular season numbers are just not there. When you talk about wide receivers who are not in Canton, he brings up Torrey Holt, he brings up Gary Clark, he brings up Sterling Sharp. All of these players had better numbers than Julian Edelman during their careers. Holt went to 7 Pro Bowls, won a Super Bowl, 13,000 yards, 74 touchdowns, not in the Hall of Fame. Gary Clark, Redskins great, 4 Pro Bowls, won a Super Bowl, 10,000 yards receiving, 65 touchdowns in an era where they didn't throw the ball all the time, not in the Hall of Fame. Sterling Sharp, former South Carolina Gamecock, his career cut short, still has more numbers than Julian Edelman, and he is nowhere near Canton. So Julian Edelman's Hall of Fame numbers come from, you know, if you're talking about a Hall of Fame resume, comes from the postseason. Because in his regular season numbers, they just don't warrant anything. They really don't. He doesn't crack the top 100, I think, in terms of any real category. You know, he is, I think, for 620 catches, 6,800 yards, 36 touchdowns, all with the Patriots. None of them really stand out. His 620 catches, 75th, 6,800 receiving yards, 156th on the list, 36 touchdowns, are not even in the top 250. So what is it? It's the postseason, the incredible catch against the Falcons, right? The great performance in an offensive stymied game against the Rams in Super Bowl 53. His willingness to, when he got hit by Cam Chancellor and then came right back, and caught the 3-yard touchdown pass. His ability to play extremely hurt. The thing about Edelman is when you play in the postseason, more people see you. That's just the way a career works. Everything is really local, except a Monday night game or a Sunday night game, but most of your regular season is local. You get some highlights, but the process, your full impact, Then you get to the playoffs and everybody's watching. Then you get to the AFC Championship game and 56 million people are watching. Then you get to the Super Bowl and 150 million people are watching. That's just the way it works. So you get to have more influence on your career. Your career has more influence in people's minds because they're seeing you perform at a highest level when it matters the most. Right, and that's Julian Edelman's career in a nutshell. When it mattered the most for the Patriots, he is one of the greatest of all time to wear a Patriot uniform. He's one of the greatest postseason performers in NFL history. Forget player, forget wide receiver, player in the doing specifically what he does. He's one of the greatest postseason performers of all time. Does that warrant enshrinement? Now, some will say yes, because again, in the end, it is being part of the machine that is being successful enough to turn out Super Bowl championships and the kind of numbers he's getting in the playoffs. Because as I was saying earlier, in order to get these postseason numbers, you have to get to the playoffs. So you have to be part of a team with you contributing that constantly is in the postseason. That's how you... Derek Jeter, again, to use him as an example, has played as many games in the playoffs as a regular season in baseball. That's crazy. And there are players like Mike Trout who never go to the playoffs. Wes Welker and the Patriots allowed him to go to the postseason so much that he amassed all of these incredible postseason numbers, and the public has been sort of watching him grow as a player and watching his impact as a player enough to make it a legitimate conversation. Even though his regular season impact is nowhere near what he did in the playoffs. It is nowhere near Pro Bowl level for that position. And you could also make the argument that Wes Welker, who played that same position as a slot receiver, Welker has more catches, more touchdowns, more yards, more Pro Bowls. He was an All-Pro twice and basically revolutionized the position for Julian Edelman to take it to the next level in the playoffs. But Wes Welker is nowhere close to Canton, Ohio either. Now listen, I do think that a player warrants a legitimate conversation. This is one of the reasons why I'm glad there's a five-year window in most sports to get from retirement to the Hall of Fame. Because I do think it has to be sort of processed. Sure, you can get a guy like Wayne Gretzky right in, right? You know, Kobe Bryant right in, you know, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan right in, Tom Brady right in. Of course, there's always going to be players who are going to go in immediately and could go in the second they retired. But the window of time is for the correct processing of somebody's career. For a lot of people, for a lot of the votes, to sort of really sit back and think about the impact. Floyd Little of the Denver Broncos is a perfect example. Floyd Little retired, did not make the Hall of Fame, did not make the Hall of Fame for years until there was one guy who really wanted to make the case that Floyd Little belonged in Canton. And he created a website and he reached out to voters and he was pointing out what made him special, why these numbers were different at his time than comparing him to players of this time. And it started to influence guys, and Floyd Little finally made the Hall of Fame. That is why you get seasoning on a career. I think that'll happen to Edelman. Would I be surprised if he's in the Hall of Fame? No. Do I think he deserves to be in there? No. I don't. Right today, no. Tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, we might be talking about a different standard, a different way we're looking at players to really emphasize his importance in the Patriot postseason runs. When you write the story of the NFL and you write the story of the Patriots, he's in the story, right? He is in the story. And that's why I think it needs time to breathe. It doesn't need to come on some emotional juggernaut by people being emotional about a guy's retirement. It doesn't need to be, he's one of the best things I saw, so therefore he's got to go in the Hall of Fame. It needs processing because the numbers for the regular season are just nowhere near it. I mean, it's not even borderline. He is nowhere near the Hall of Fame, as a regular season wide receiver. And those postseason numbers might push him to the top and might get enough voters to go, sure. We'll continue this conversation. Also talk about what the heck are we going to do with instant replay in sports next.
Everybody. You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, please. Otherwise, another Ron Culver gets in. We don't need him to be bothered by his tweets. Tubbo Towels, heavy-duty cleaning wipes, have over 30,000 five-star reviews for a reason. They are tough on any stain, any mess that you need cleaning up. Literally breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease on the surface. Cleans just about everything. Car interiors, walls, floors, tiles, paint rollers, fabrics, carpet, lawn and garden equipment, grills like I used over the weekend. It breaks down grease, oil, tar, paint, ink, glue, wax, permanent marker. If you've got a little one in the house, you know how tough that can be when they get their hands on one of those. Big bird messes, adhesive decals, you name it, Tubbo Towels will clean it. And it's easy on the hands. Contains aloe vera, vitamin E, lanolin. Vapor lock lid, snap shut, keeps them moist so they will go after any stain, any dirt, any mess that you need. The Tubbo Towels available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Napa, and Pet Boys. Check them out, Tubbo Towels. You're going to need them because messes are consistent. How you clean them, you use Tubbo Towels. All right, we've been talking about Julian Edelman this morning. Good conversation about the Hall of Fame career and where he's going in the future. Michael on Twitter, I have to be consistent. Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer because of two great postseason runs, so Edelman should be measured in the same light. He had great postseason moments, but his regular seasons were very mediocre. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. I don't think a lot of people know that. I think for people who didn't watch him on a consistent basis, he doesn't have eye-popping regular season numbers.
No, which is what I'm looking at this with the Hall of Fame vote in 5 years. We already know Drew Brees is going to be in. I mean, right? He's going to moonwalk in. But it's funny because you have Philip Rivers and Eli Manning with opposite takes, opposite conversations of whether or not they're going to be able to make it in. Because Eli has great postseason, terrible regular season, and Phil Rivers is exact opposite of him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right.
And so what do we weigh more, postseason or regular season?
I think it is hard to maintain a consistency. I kind of agree with Michael. If you have a belief about postseason numbers, I think it is important to stay consistent within that line. But I think, again, is it fair to grade a player and their impact in the league, their numbers, for example, in a league where getting to the postseason is not easy. It's actually difficult. Do we grade players who are borderline? Like, let's say baseball did this, right? Obviously, Mike Trout would go to the Hall of Fame because his regular season numbers are fantastic. But let's say he was a borderline guy, right? He had pretty good numbers, not 3,000 hits, but, you know, pretty good season, pretty good career, maybe 300 home runs, you know, maybe 2,700 hits. But he never made the playoffs. Like, his team just stunk. Never made the playoffs. He played in a small market team. They never made anywhere. He dominated that team, but that was pretty much it. Would it be fair to say, well, the absence of your postseason destroys your accomplishments during the regular season, right? Because you're kind of riding a fine line. If you take somebody with borderline regular season numbers and you say, well, when I add this postseason stuff, the excellence in the postseason, this boosts them up. Well, what do you do with a guy with above average Hall of Fame credential numbers in the regular season that may need a boost or two, but has no postseason to speak of, right? I mean, that's the difficulty. There are plenty of good players in the NFL who make the playoffs once, twice, three times, four times. I mean, Edelman was on a team that made it for a decade straight.
Yeah.
I mean, every year he was going to play in two or three, you know, playoff games, and especially if they went to the Super Bowl.
He could have pedestrian games throughout and still have ungodly career postseason numbers because of the amount of time he played. I mean, Edelman pretty much played two seasons worth?
Right.
Just about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of postseason numbers there because he got to go to the postseason all the time, right? Whereas other players did not get to go to the postseason all the time. And that's that's the problem when you weigh it in. I think there's a way. I think that having a consistent line is important. And I kind of, again, I agree with Michael. If you're a voter, you should stay consistent. If you believe postseason is an added value, then make it an added value for everybody. If you think it isn't an added value, then make it a non-added value for everybody. And that would also mean, again, the Eli Manning question comes into play. But I also think that every single player warrants its own their own evaluation, right? I mean, I think every player, you sort of have to look and put it all in perspective, right? What did he mean to the team? What did he mean for the league? Listen, I said earlier that I think when you write the story of the NFL, when you talk about the Patriots, when you get to the chapter of the book about the Patriots, especially winning these Super Bowls against Seattle, against Atlanta, against the Rams, obviously Julian Edelman's in there. He's not only in there, he's prominent in those chapters, right? The catch against the Falcons, the touchdown against the Seahawks, the MVP performance against the Rams. I mean, and you have to remember, too, when they beat the Seahawks, the Patriots hadn't won a Super Bowl for 9 seasons. We think of this incredible 20-year run, but there was a gap in the middle between the time they beat the Eagles in Jacksonville to the time that they beat the Seahawks in Arizona. There was a gap of 9 years, and in those 9 years were 2 Super Bowl losses to the Giants, right? So when you talk about this incredible 20-year run of the Patriots, Edelman is not only a player in that, he's a predominant player in that. He's an extremely important player in that. But, again, what do you do with a player that has numbers that are nowhere near, I mean, absolutely nowhere near Hall of Fame worthy for the regular season? I mean, do we discount, do we discount Torrey Holt? Do we discount Gary Clark? Do we discount other players that didn't get the same, who made the postseason but are not in the Hall of Fame for whatever reason, right? I mean, that's where we're at, right? I mean, he won a Super Bowl. He won multiple Super Bowls. Those are great. He also won a Super Bowl MVP. But he has some places in his resume that are where he really comes up short. And the guy that he should be compared to was the guy who established the position, especially on the same team in Wes Welker. And Welker doesn't warrant a Hall of Fame conversation. And he played for both Brady and Peyton Manning. And Edelman, he doesn't have the same sort of resume as Welker. So again, that's where we're kind of at with this. Again, Michael on Twitter, Mark Lemke is known as Mr. October for the Braves, but was mediocre second baseman. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there were guys who really stepped up in the postseason and really made names for themselves in the playoffs, right? You know what? Robert Horry is a perfect example of that too, right?
Yep.
Robert Horry is probably the godfather of that conversation.
Big shot, Rob.
Big shot, Rob. Right? He's at least, if he's not the godfather, he's one of the founding fathers of the debate, right?
I'll have to check it out, but I think he won like 5 finals in a row.
Yeah. I mean, he just, you know, it's, again, it's, so you know, sometimes you end up on teams that win championships and provide you an opportunity. And again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. I think being in the playoffs influences people more because more people are sharing in that moment, right? Like if you're saying, oh man, Julian Edelman, he had 5 touchdown catches against the Dolphins in week 2. How many people in America saw that other than highlights? You're always going to see the highlights, but how many watched that game from the beginning to the end if it's on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern, right? What, a certain percentage of the population? That's it, right? But when you catch 3 touchdowns or you have a 10 catch, 140 yard and a performance in the Super Bowl, that's, you know, that's 150 million people watching. That's 150 people or now kind of formulating their opinion of you. So that's kind of, I mean, Eli Manning is a perfect example. Unless you watched every single Giants game during his career, you don't realize some of the struggles he had. You don't realize or remember some of those moments. When you're a fan and they hurt more when he throws that late interception or failed to get a drive. But if you're a casual fan of the league or you like one particular team and you watch the Giants when they're on national TV or Monday Night Football or when they're in the postseason, you see Eli winning in Green Bay in the cold weather, throwing the pass to Plaxico Burress, throwing the pass to David Tyree, throwing the pass to Mario Manningham, right? All of the good postseason moments that Eli had, winning on the road to lead the Giants to the Super Bowl. You get influenced by that, and you go, well, of course. Should he go to the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Why? Well, because any free time you saw him when it mattered, or when you were really paying attention to him, he lived up to that billing. Julian Edelman is in that same conversation. He lived up to every one of your expectations if you only really saw him in the playoffs. And I say that. Listen, I know we watch games on national TV, and I get that. But I'm talking about the postseason when you're really dialed in if you live in Phoenix or Seattle or Miami or Atlanta or wherever you are, and you're really dialed in to the teams that are in the playoffs. That's when he made his impact. That's when his performance really cut through. So that is the story of Julian Edelman announcing his retirement yesterday.
I love the fact that you brought up Robert Horry, because I had to take a quick peek.
Yes. What did you find?
He's a 7-time NBA champion.
That's awesome.
He won 2 with the Rockets, 3 with the Lakers, and 2 with the Spurs.
That's fantastic.
He also holds records. This is where he's the perfect example. At the time of his retirement, he was the all-time leader in playoff games played with 244 games, surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Now, see?
So that's exactly what we're talking about with Edelman, where he has all of these records, but he also has played like 2 times more games.
Right.
Because he was always there.
Always there. That's exactly right.
He also has more three-pointers than someone named Michael Jordan.
See, again, opportunity, right?
Right.
That's great. 7 championships. And every one of them is special.
Yep, every one of them.
I don't love one more than the other. All right. Again, on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver, Ron with 2 N's. We continue as Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Long, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio, and this hour is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Congratulations to Jacksonville Jaguars starting quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who got married over the weekend. Longtime girlfriend, have been together for a number of years. Going to be living their new life very soon, in a couple of weeks, as the Jags' new quarterback. So congratulations.
Did you hear about what happened?
What?
With the Jaguars? Or the future Jaguar, I should say?
Yes, go ahead.
That Jaguar fans got a hold of the wedding registry and bought everything?
Yeah. That's dumb. Stop giving rich athletes stuff.
God.
Like, don't pay for their toaster. That's ridiculous.
No, I think they're making sure that he's fully stocked and that they're already saying, we welcome you,
listen,
prodigal son.
Jacksonville, he has no choice. He has to play for you. This isn't a recruiting trip. He has to play for you, right? You have him for the next, 5 years?
At least.
At least.
At least.
So he has to play. You do not have to bestow presents on him. He's fine.
They seize that opportunity, though. I mean, you know what? That 2-slice toaster oven wasn't going to buy themselves, Tony.
If anything, he should be giving you stuff. If anything, he should be buying you stuff. Giving him a toaster.
It was amazing, just the outcry. Like, you know, everything they put on their registry. Now, you know, I know you did the same thing. I did it as well. You didn't get everything. You barely anything on your registry. And you're like, man, I really wanted that.
Man, my wife and I talked about this a while back. We were talking about the things we were like, we registered for that we don't even have anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we got a cappuccino coffee machine. We don't have that. We got a rotisserie. Don't have that. Number of other items we don't have.
I'm trying to think. I think there's got to be some other things that we've kept over the years, but I remember, I can't remember what store we walked around, but one of the things I put down was a coat rack.
Oh,
just because we got, you know, they gave us that gun to go and scan things, and I just got gun happy. I was
I
felt like I was playing laser tag.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And
it's
so one of the things I put down was like this authentic looking coat rack that had a little umbrella stand. I mean, it's really nice. It's a substantial piece of furniture. We still have it.
Man, that's, you still have it?
We still have
good
it.
For you. Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, a coat rack travels well.
Yeah. So.
I have no idea
all the other
why
stuff,
we don't.
I don't remember what we put
I don't
down.
Know why we don't have our cappuccino machine thing. I don't know why we don't. I don't know why we would have gotten rid of it.
You know what? I know why.
Why?
Just because it probably sat on a counter and never was used.
And then we just sold it at a yard sale, I guess.
Your wife maybe. Probably snuck remember. It out of the house.
Probably. I don't remember. Like, if you asked me where that stuff, I mean, this weekend, we'll be married 23 years. I have no idea where most of that stuff was. I remember we got a rotisserie and we used it, and I don't think the chicken turned out well
was
or something.
Was it the Ronco?
I think it might have been.
Yeah, yeah, I think we all had that.
Yeah, exactly.
And ours traveled with us from one place to another for a while, and then finally we were just like, why do we have this? We never bring it out.
I told my wife, I said, I would love in my office. I said, you know what? I want a coffee maker cappuccino machine in my office. She says, why? I go, because I don't want to put it on the counter. Nobody would use it. I don't want it taking up space. I'll just put it in my office. She goes, yeah, well, we didn't use the last one we got. And I was like, did we ever have one? She goes, yeah, we got one for our wedding. I go, well, oh, see, I'm getting old. You know what I've always wanted in my house and I always wanted a grandfather clock. Is that weird? I don't know why I wanted a grandfather clock.
So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I had one, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
But I don't, is that a like, thing anymore?
I don't think it is, which is really weird that I, in 2021, want a grandfather clock in my house. I think it would be one of those things where I got a grandfather clock and I would go, ugh, I don't need this. Why did I get this? It's a waste of money. I can tell time on my wrist. I'm fine. All right, it's a wake-up call.